Cascadia. Today is Monday, August 17th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Coming up, we've got 15 minutes of news, comment, and jiggery pokery. Today's guests joining us from the BARC, the Forest Watch Coordinator, Michael Crocter. He will be talking about a recent victory. Don't forget that these things of course, are celebrated among a community that does, in fact, still care about what's left of our forests. And it reminds everybody that we've got more up ahead, notably, of course, the Elliott State Forest timber. So we're going to sell the whole thing. They're just going to sell it off. This is in the name of funding schools. You would think that after all this time, somebody would have come up with a better way to fund schools. What are we supposed to tell kids about the forests that used to be there? Oh yeah, we used to have the most extraordinarily beautiful, pristine, old-growth forest. Silence, beauty, staring. You'll lie on your back and stare up at the trees until you become dizzy. Yeah, birds of prey floating up ahead, up above you, moss below, rocks, ferns, all of that gone in the name of so-called education, which it's worth pointing out, what passes for education today is nothing more than training. I could train my dog. Well, not very well, but I made a taking a stab at it. But you know, what people need desperately now is analytical thinking. Analytical thinking might be able to get us out of the mess that training has got us into. What training has done is convince everybody that the most important thing in life is a job, and that Elliott State Forest could go to hell in a handbasket because it doesn't matter anyway. All they know anyway is playing video games. So that's what pushes all those emotional buttons in the end. Well, that said, everybody needs a moment to rant, and now is the time for you to take yours as well as listen to this. We have Michael on right now, the Forest Watch Coordinator with BARC. Good morning, Michael. Thanks for being with us today. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Got you on the line. Good. So, in response, the story goes to concerns from BARC, Oregon Wild, and a number of other people, individuals, Forest Service has dropped 869 acres from a proposed timber sale south of Mount Hood. Do you want to talk a little bit about the Lamaity Butte timber sale and why this is so important, why this does richly deserve to be celebrated?
Excuse me, sorry, I didn't hear that last part of what you said.
Can you tell us why this is important and why would?
Yeah, and thanks, Chris, so much for talking about forest issues today, because they're really important for both our human and non-human communities and for climate change. And the situation in the Elliott Forest is really distressing to us at BARC. But I am happy to say that we, in a happy, refreshing and turn of events, like you said, in response to a lot of work that us and others have put into a timber sale in Mount Hood National Forest called the Lemetai Timber Sale, which is in Allali. It's close to Allali Lakes in Mount Hood. The Forest Service did agree to drop around 800 acres out of around proposed 2,300 acres, so around one-third of this timber sale. And so this was a salvage logging project, which means that it would log predominantly dead trees, lodgepole pines, which were killed by a native mountain pine beetle. And these dead trees provide extremely, extremely important habitat for all kinds of critters out in the forest.
Not to mention the fact that it is a rich substrate for future forests to grow on. Forests, people need, constantly it seems to be reminded, don't need to be managed. A managed forest is a tree farm. And that's exactly the plan here. I'm guessing here,
right,
that the plan is that they, all in the name of fire suppression or God knows what, I don't know why, but what they want to do is to log dead lodgepole pine and then take a look at what they've got left and say, you know, this would be a good place for a tree farm.
Right, that's actually exactly what, you know, their quote-unquote purpose and need is, to suppress fires and, you know, enhance productivity of that area, you know, which productivity means future timber and harvest. So when we learned about this project, we started raising a lot of awareness about the value of these dead trees, and we actually generated hundreds of letters, which were received by our door-to-door and street canvas team. We led public hikes and did a lot of other outreach, and so we're happy to say that in response to this, you know, the Forest Service has dropped the most sensitive and ecologically valuable parts of this project, including so areas near streams and owl habitat. And this is really significant because not only are these the most acres that have been dropped from any timber sale on Mount Hood in recent years, usually the Forest Service doesn't admit that it was the public pressure that convinced them to change a proposal. And in this case, they actually did. They said that, you know, there was this very consistent concern of the loss of this valuable snag habitat, snags being standing dead trees. And so that led them to modify this project and drop, you know, over a third of the acres in the project itself.
Yeah, and it's the heat's definitely on, not just for climate change heat, but heat from the public who more and more. Talk, just before we let you go, a lot of people are motivated to take action once they have seen what is at stake. And Buck is does this incredible ongoing job of providing intense, wonderful experiences for people. You can go out and do ground truthing, you can go for hikes and see exactly what this is, what we're talking about, because otherwise it just doesn't have any reality. Do you want to mention a few things that Bark's doing right now to offer people opportunities to be exposed to this?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say the two things that pop into my head right now, well, actually tonight, if folks are interested in learning more about this, about Limitai and about this wind and about Bark and what we do, we're hosting one of our monthly ecology club events here at our brand new office, which, if you haven't been to our new space, it's really a nice space to check out. And so it's at 351 Northeast 18th, so pretty much 18th and Sandy. And so at 6 p.m., we're going to have an event tonight, and you can come and meet folks, and we're going to be writing letters about the Limitai timber sale and having a special discussion about native bats and their habitat in Mount Hood. If you can't make it to that event, we have monthly Bark About hikes every second Sunday of each month. And so I can't off the top of my head remember what the second Sunday of September is, but that's going to be our next hike. We just had our August hike a few weekends ago. And then in October, we're going to have our second camp out of this year, which is going to be in the Clackamas, and we're going to be ground truthing timber sales out there. So those are the first things that come to mind in terms of getting involved with Bark. And if you're interested in learning more, too, you can visit our website. It's bark-out.org.
Really, when we all go up and you get down to it, the forest is really all that counts. And it's the lungs of the planet. Most of it's on fire right now, and the fires that are burning, of course, are so extreme, so extraordinary, and so utterly unlike anything that the firefighting services have ever seen before, that the media has actually downplayed it. Eat one small fraction of what's going on, of what's burning, what's on fire right now. If that were happening in any other time, it would be huge news. But the fact is that there are so many of these things that they have literally blown the lid straight off of all available resources for fighting these kind of fires. People who really know what's going on are terrified at this time. And therefore, do you want to just draw a line under that? What Bark is doing is essential and important. And not only that, it's fun. It has got to be fun. Thank you so much for that, Michael. We really appreciate you joining us today. We're going to put all of that information, you can always get it at the KBOO website. You can call the front desk, and they'll share it with you, too. Thanks again. My guest has been Michael Crochter with Bark. And we're going to speak now with Robert Craig with Citizen Action Wisconsin, frequent guest on the show, monitoring the hijinks and adventures of Governor Scott Walker as he prances through the system of government that we laughingly refer to as democracy, but which everyone, including Scotty himself, would probably be perfectly comfortable calling it just capitalism. Why do you think we have a capital in Washington, D.C.? It's a shrine to capitalism. If it's not called a democracy, it's called the capital. Good morning, Robert. Thank you very much for joining us. And thank you so much for getting that press release out to me. Much is afoot in Wisconsin.
Eh? Yeah, good morning, Chris.
Good morning. So Scott Walker is about to state's health care. He's about to deny indigent people and most others, pretty much gutting the middle classes, access to health care. What's he up to? What's he about to announce, and what's it going to do?
Well, as you know, he's floundering a bit because he's having trouble competing with that great statesman, Donald Trump.
That's right.
and so he is going to double down on his repeal of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and he's chosen the state of Minnesota, of all places, to announce his plan to, quote-unquote, repeal and replace. And what's amazing about that is that Minnesota is a state that has acted very differently. They have used all of the tools of the Affordable Care Act, implemented, and gone beyond them. And partly as a result, their insurance rates are much lower than they are in Wisconsin. So Governor Walker, while he's about to announce a plan to repeal, actually is going to a place that, quite frankly, disproves his whole approach, that we should somehow go backwards to the days where people could be denied coverage based on pre-existing conditions and people didn't have to go to a place to go to get affordable coverage. And so obviously the irony has escaped him that states that have done the right thing have done much better than states like Wisconsin, where he has governed, where sabotage has been the rule of the day.
And of course, as we know, Donald Trump's idea of coverage is a comb-over. That's his view of coverage. So it still makes no sense at all. Citizen Action Wisconsin has covered Walker's efforts to sabotage health care in Wisconsin right from the get-go. I still don't see how he can actually do it, because the law is, in fact, on the books. It's here to stay. How much damage is he likely to accomplish here?
Well, this is all based on the proposition, Chris, that he's elected president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, he's bombing Iran on day one, not just canceling the agreement with Iran on the nuclear deal. And he's repealing the Affordable Care Act on day one, though I don't think the Constitution allows the president to do that unilaterally either. As you point out, it's on the books. But that is the campaign promise. And so this is what's going to be bizarre is that all the Republican candidates support repeal, though Walker by far made the biggest case during the debate. But then they try to claim that all the bad things that happen won't happen. They say, don't worry, we'll take care of people with pre-existing conditions. And we'll see what's in this plan. But it seems like it's going to be a block granting kind of approach where it just cuts money dramatically, gives it to the states, and then sets up gigantic cuts in health care. And the rest of it is simply what Salon.com this morning called healthcare unicorns. That is the idea that somehow if you have these conservative solutions will add up to people having guaranteed coverage, which of course is the opposite of the case.
And how do you think people fully understand this? Do you think people are they just buying it? We don't have campaigns. These are that are actually political events. We've got marketing. These are marketing stunts. This is all advertising. It's come on down. That's what all of these rallies and so forth seem to amount to. So Walker just has to scream, yeah, we're going to dismantle the whole works, but nothing's going to change. Aren't people furious?
I think that the problem is there's a Republican base, the 25% of the electorate, that it's like red meat. So saying Obamacare is like saying communist. And so that's who he's appealing to try to get traction in the Republican primaries. But in terms of the broader public, I think with the second Supreme Court decision, public opinion has really begun to turn the corner. And even people who aren't sure whether Obamacare has worked or been successful are sick of the endless partisan debate about repeal and just want to move forward, just want to work together to start to cover more people, improve the system, and bring costs down. And so I do think this is going to be a net negative, ultimately, if we play our cards right in the general election. But Governor Walker right now is trying to show that somehow he is more against Obamacare than the other, 14 candidates in the field, and that may be hard to do.
Robert, thank you so much. We're fresh out of time. I think they should just change the name. It's Obamacare. That if you say that, people turn red in the face and, you know, blood gushes out of their ears. They should call it Unicare, Unicorn Care. Just change the name. People will, they love the coverage. They love what they get. They just don't like the name.
We call what's being announced tomorrow Walker Care.
That's it. Thank you so much for that. We're out of time. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, August 17th, 2015. We have Joe Clement engineering the show today. Thanks for that, Joe. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
KBOO is a co-sponsor of the Double Mountain Brewery and Tap Room's Great Bottle Roundup and Street Party on Sunday, August 23rd in Hood River. To lower their environmental impact, Double Mountain is working to reuse their bottles. More information